As a culture worker who belongs to an oppressed people, my job is to make revolution irresistible. This is a quote from Toni Cade Bambara, Black activist, filmmaker, writer of the Black art movements of the 1960s, who is also my birthday twin. She's born on March 25th. 1939, and she unironically has Jupiter in Pisces in her natal chart, in a really nice opposition to Neptune in Virgo, which I think opens the door for a number of conversations that we will definitely be having on this podcast. Hello, welcome back to Imani Talks Astrology. I am your host, Imani. I've returned maybe two astrological seasons later than I said I would, but I am here nonetheless, and this is the first episode of what will be called season two. So today we're going to talk about Jupiter in Pisces. I think before that I'll do just a couple of different housekeeping things just to kind of put in perspective what the direction of the podcast will be. And how I have the intention to use this platform in my other spaces moving forward. So I'm in the process of finishing up my website. When that's done, well, not done because it's not ever going to be finished, but when some of the kind of main things are done with it, I will open it up and open up my bookings. As I mentioned, maybe sometime in April. What month is it? Oh, it's May. Sorry, there's a dog chewing at my leg. Back in April, I'm going to send out email to those who have already been on, who've asked about readings and inquired about them during this time that I've been on a hiatus. I'll also kind of explain that a little bit better than I did before. I'll try to, because, you know, Mercury in Pisces, not necessarily the best at explaining things in a way that is linear or cohesive. So we'll attempt to do that. So that's one thing to kind of expect to roll out over the next couple of months. So I say that because one of the main things that I've been in deep thought about over the last couple of months is like, why is astrology important to me, and what is it that I want to do with astrology, if that makes sense? Why is it a tool that I have found meaningful, and how am I trying to add value and meaning to the astrological canon through my perspective? In that time, I also was studying under a teacher, under Sam Reynolds, for those who are aware of who Sam is, and will continue to likely do so for the remainder of the year. And so I did really need to just kind of take a break from reading for people. But I think another even more important part of that was being, quite frankly, swept away by a very huge wave of imposter syndrome. And that wave just got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Last fall, I was offered so many really amazing opportunities to teach, to supplement an event, which, you know, so these are some of the things that I shared. And I don't even think I really like advertised or shared them really well because, again, you know, imposter syndrome. So quite honestly, I've kind of, while I've been running towards astrology in a lot of ways, I've been running away from my astrological practice as well, because I just didn't really feel that confident about what it is that I had to share. Despite the fact that, you know, there is a lot of external validation that I receive based on, you know, my astrology. And I also noticed that the quality of the readings that I was providing for people was diminishing because in a sense I was sabotaging them as well. So like, quite honestly, that's where I've been. You know, I've moved back in with my family, and that's been a weird adjustment because, you know, they know that I'm an astrologer, but they don't necessarily take astrology seriously. Wow, I'm sharing way too much information right now. I don't like this. We'll do it anyway. And so it felt really uncomfortable to record the podcast at home, which I'm doing right now anyway, but, you know, whatever. It just didn't feel weird. It just felt really weird to kind of do something that I love that isn't necessarily taken seriously, one, right? But also, you know, my parents aren't very religious, but they were raised by pretty religious people. And I have family members who think that what I do is sacrilegious and devil worshipy. Neither here nor there, but it is important, I guess, in the context of that. And so kind of like coming home, mind you, I'm in a fourth house perfected year. and I was in a third house perfected year last year. So kind of feeling the weight of that. And I think the subconscious indoctrination, one, around the value of the work that I do, but also the validity of the work that I do and whether it's right or wrong, whether it's real or fake, right? Which is a very like Jupiter in Pisces kind of thing. It's like, is this thing real or is this thing not real, right? Is it a delusion or is it magic, right? So that's where I've been. And that's quite frankly what I've been dealing with for, you know, I think the onset of it was the strongest in December after that last episode that I did. You know, I had been writing, well, I have been writing and recording so many amazing and different things about astrology all summer last year and all this entire time that I've been away, and I published none of it because I felt like it was absolute bullshit. And I didn't want to be a liar, right? It's just, you know, weird, you know, things that, you know, again, clearly that's my shit, but you know, I tell you this for a number of reasons, that I'll kind of get into, in a couple of different ways. But to kind of go back to like this reflective period and even more recently being asked my why, for a lot of different things within my life from a number of different people that I love, I've had to think about why astrology and why this particular way that we talk about astrology through social justice. There's something deeply special and important about it, one. But I think to kind of name how I'm framing why we're using astrology and why it is important. And I think that will also deeply relate to some of the things that we're talking about when it comes to talking about Jupiter in Pisces. So the framework that I'm using, well, that I've been using, but I'm consecrating that I'm using right now. We're using astrology as an ancestral technology from remembering. And that is a word that I first was introduced to through the writer Ngugiwa Thiong'o, who wrote Something Toward Anew, which was one of the first books that I read when I went to Howard University. And I'm looking at and examining remembering as a process of, you know, some people will talk about it as decolonization, re-indigenizing, the process of undoing dismemberment, right, that has been placed upon all of us by colonialism. So exploring how that's happening. Fugitivity, which is a word that I came into contact with through Alexis Pauline Gums, Black queer feminist writer. an activist, was a member of the Combahee River Collective. So those are some of the things, and fugitivity being the act of, as she describes, of stealing oneself away from the system, or of Harriet Tubman-ness, right? So what are the ways in which we daily commit to defying systems, to being subversive, to being ungovernable, to being in integrity to the highest good of all people, and of course for liberation, which I think both of those two things that I just named are interconnected in the overall fight for liberation. But also, it's a way to commemorate and document our survival of apocalypse for future generations. And it's also being used as a tool to presently embody liberation and discover how we can seed new worlds. So that is the lens through which we're examining astrology. If I'm going to be a tad bit controversial for a second, and this is a conversation that I've had with another astrologer, Elmina Bell, who's amazing, Malima_alchemy, and also runs Indigenous Mental Health Network, which is, I definitely think that I said that incorrectly. I'll put the name of that in the description box. But there, as we're seeing this integration of social justice into astrology, I think a lot of things kind of get stuck at, this is our oppression, this is our oppression, this is our oppression, which I think is no different than where most people are, generally. And it's important to have an astrological framework that not only we can use to examine the conditions of now, but also to create and structure the conditions of tomorrow, and also examine the conditions of yesteryear, right? What are the things that were happening? So that will, you know, and how do those things inform what we're building and creating now, right? Especially when we're talking about an indigenizing process, re-indigenizing process. So that's what we're doing. That's what this is about. That being said, you know, I think it's important to share information with you about myself because, and this is something, you know, I attended one of the events that Elmina and her colleagues at her organization, or their organization, Imani, put together on the 22nd. And they were talking about how, you know, in indigenous communities, please stop. I'm talking to a dog. Sorry. I'm trying to record. I can't pet you forever. You can go. Exactly. That's what I thought. Calm down, please. What was I even saying? And one of the things that she was talking about was like in indigenous communities, the shaman, the medicine person, the healers were integrated into the community, right? There were people who had built and fostered individual as well as community relationships with people. And one thing that I've noticed immediately when Jupiter entered Pisces, I'm not going to be a person to sit around and name names. If you follow me on Instagram, you already know who the fuck I'm talking about. But there is, you know, there are lots of very large accounts, and there's nothing wrong with having a large account, in the woo sphere. And there are lots of people who are just a stranger in a sense that we rely on to share information about with us that is supposed to be impacting our emotional, spiritual, physical, in some instances, financial well-being. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think the issue is the discernment. But lots of times we don't know shit about these people. And to be quite honest, that is, to kind of go back to what Elmina was saying, quite antithetical to the way that indigenous systems work. It's supposed to be community centered. It's not throwing a platform and an audience at an individual and elevating them to a status in which they are untouchable. They are a member of the community, right? And so I think that's why it's important for, you know, I know on my page, in addition to talking about astrology, I talk about a lot of other shit as well, which definitely kind of irks some people and other people do love, whatever. But like, I want you to know who I am, and I want you to be able to make a informed decision about whether you would like to continue to, you know, well, quite frankly, consume what it is that I share, right? And whether you'd like to listen to me or even if you trust me, right? So that is something that's incredibly important that I am going to try to practice more, since it is something that I have found to be valuable. If I share people and things with you, it's because I know those people and I trust them in their integrity, or at least at the bare minimum, their heart. So those are just some of the things that I'm thinking about. I'm going to explore in more depth the spiritual leader, and I put air quotes around that, and how, being that we're in a Hierophant year, we're being called to be our own spiritual leader, but also how to discern the people that will put us on a path of engaging in that and taking responsibility and taking and steering the wheel of our own spiritual journeys without this deep reliance on other people, is one of the main invitations of the Hierophant year. That being said, I'm going to make a video about that, and also, and that will be on my Instagram during the time in which Jupiter is in the sign of Pisces. Now, let's get into it. I could sit here and promise you that this is not going to be long. We're already 18 minutes in. And yeah. So let's start by talking about dates. So Jupiter entered Pisces on May 13th. And it is going to be there until July 28th, in which then it will retrograde and it will go back into the sign of Aquarius, and it will pop back out in Scorpio season, I believe, is when it will be direct. Or even some, oh. Hold on, because I think it was actually sometime around December, which would mean that would be sometime, yep, in December. And then from December till May of 2022, it will be there in the sign of Pisces. And then it will leave to enter Aries, and then it will retrograde once again and dip right back in there from October 28th to December 20th of 2022. So that will be very interesting to witness. Quite frankly, that is making me think of the way that Jupiter-Pluto conjunction kind of manifested in 2020. So that will be interesting. And I'll also kind of get into some of the other things based on what I've read and seen. And just kind of general thoughts that have kind of popped up for me. So one of the main things, you know, I think by now y'all know, when I talk about astrology and a planet transiting, it's an invitation, right? And that invitation is based on a lot of things. It's based on our willingness to take it, but it's also based on, well, yeah, and the conditions by which we're willing to do so, which is both a conscious and an unconscious process, right? Based on where you are in your receptivity of things, but also in how you perceive things as well. Jupiter, of course, being this planet, I think back in Sag season, right? We talked about like cultural frameworks. What was the word that I used? I don't even remember. That we hold around things. Yes, a cultural cosmology, right? So like how do we map out, sorry if you can hear the dog scratching itself. How we map out cultural meaning with things, and language and philosophy and belief, religion, morals. It's also a planet related to what we refer to as wealth and also as luck, right? And it also is a planet of privilege. And I feel like those two words, luck and privilege, have a bit of overlap at times in the way that we can kind of define luck in relation to a certain amount of preparation or work that we do towards something and the opportunities that arise in relation to that. And I think on the end of privilege, it puts into perspective that that work is not always yours, right? It sometimes can be other people's work that provides you with a sense of opportunity. Now, in the sign of Pisces, mutable water, and I think we'll kind of get into to what I want to say about that. The first thought that came to my mind when I started kind of putting pen to paper to kind of shell out what Jupiter in Pisces might be, how that might show up for us, is the song "Heaven Is a Place on Earth" by Belinda Carlisle, which is a song from the 80s. And it really, to me, is like, what is this process by which we bring heaven to earth, right? But also, like, what are the things that we're doing? Again, if Jupiter is so much about like opportuneness, and also about generosity, where are we or where are we not extending that, to people? Where are we? How, again, back to what I was saying about an invitation, like how receptive are we to this idea of heaven on earth? And also, what are some of the distortions we have around how that might actually manifest, and what that actually means within our personal lives, but also collectively as well? One of the things that I want to warn people of, right? Because when we're thinking about Jupiter and Pisces and we think about generosity, being generous in how compassionate and graceful, the extension of grace we are to other people, extending grace to other people. What I wrote is the chaos that's created arguing with people to humanize yourself, and how nothing about that is freeing and nor is that empowering. I think, especially if we're going to talk about this in the context of what we've been seeing just the last couple of weeks, with a number of police killings of Black people, a number of human rights violations, genocidal acts globally, right? We're seeing this in Ethiopia with the Tigray. I hope I said that correctly. We're seeing this in Palestine. We're seeing this in Haiti. At the hands of the Dominican Republic. We're seeing this in Colombia, at the hands of the Colombian government and other militant forces that are, of course, their police, etc. And I do apologize if there is some other event that's occurring right now that I have left out. There's a lot of shit going on, though, right? And I think one of the things that, we love to do with social media is if it's a place for opinions, right? And it's a place to share what it is that we think and what it is that we believe. But especially given the fact that we're in at Saturn in Aquarius, right? We have to be able to refine the scope through which we're building community and working towards a liberatory future. And so a lot of that is dependent on us as individuals not trying to martyr ourselves to make other people understand, whether that's angrily, whether that's with grace or whatever it may be. People are either going to show up and hear and listen and believe with you, or they're not. And I think the key of discerning is knowing where that is and where that is, where that line is, right? And not extending ourselves beyond that to the point in which we appear to be, try to be a saviorist in a sense. Decolonize on Conference did an amazing live stream that you can find on their Instagram and on YouTube, I believe. I know that they have some highlights from it on their Instagram, talking about the decolonizing of relationships. And this was one of the main things that they spoke about. But I think one of the things that Fatima, who is one of the leads of Decolonize on Conference, if that's the correct word to use, she was talking about living in a colonized existence, and like the desire to hold people accountable, which I think is that we have, and that we see, in which like we can't hold people accountable, who one we're not in community with, but also who people who have a very different framework of understanding and seeing the world. And I feel like that is something that we have to kind of come to learn and accept. And again, being able to discern where is it that people are able to learn and where is it that we need to let people arrive at that destination themselves, because we have really fucking important work to do that does not center around us constantly re-explaining ourselves and staying in this kind of staying in the karmic hamster wheel of having to consistently reaffirm our existence over and over and over and over and over again, especially in a time in which we are perpetually being gaslit at every single level, right? So like, how do we occupy that space in which the lines are very blurred around what is the truth, right? Which I think is a very Jupiter and Pisces thing. And like, how do we occupy that space in a way in which we feel seen, but we're also building community and we're not wasting our time and energy trying to save or bring along people who aren't ready for the ride, right? Let's see. I think another thing that people spoke about was that the mask mandate was lifted on day one. And this goes back to another thing when we're thinking about Jupiter, because Jupiter is also a planet of indulgence, wants to have a really good time, wants, you know, good food, good liquor, you know, rest, sex, all of the things, good drugs, right? Like, let's be real. So like there is an energy, of carelessness that I think may be really easy to kind of slip into as Jupiter is in Pisces and as we start to see things open back up, right? There's this desire to connect. It's very like, I'm just thinking about like communes of the 60s, flower children, free love, you know, kind of thing. That we may be in the mood to feel and explore and indulge a little and, you know, in a sense, return to the streets because the streets have been calling our names. So I think it'll be interesting to see if you're familiar with the People's Oracle, I don't want to mispronounce her name, so I'll just refer to her platform. She is a sidereal astrologer. However, what she was talking about was spikes in COVID-19, especially towards the end of the year. And I definitely think that's something that we may see. Last time Jupiter was in Pisces in 2009, we experienced what? You guessed it. You said it correctly. We had the H1N1 swine flu pandemic at that time. And if we go back a couple of decades to 1974, which was also a time in which Jupiter was in Pisces, that was the time in which the H1N1 vaccine, swine flu vaccine, was originally created. So I definitely think it will be interesting to see, especially I think one of the things that I said in my story, not necessarily in relation to Jupiter and Pisces, but in general, is that people need to start building their immune systems. It's important to remember that Pisces, if we're talking medical astrology, rules the lymphatic system, of course, which is a part of your immune system. And also kind of think about how Pisces rules the feet too, right? And how the feet have, if you know, are familiar with like reflexology, there's a connection to literally every single part of your body in your feet. And so like there is this need to strengthen your immune system, you know, not to be someone to sit around and give people medical advice, but it's important. We have in, you know, I'll say this, my mom is a nurse, and we've talked about this. People have suppressed immune systems. We have not been around each other. Well, some of us haven't. And we've been wearing masks everywhere we go. We've been hand sanitizing, Lysoling, Clorox wiping, everything. Your body is not prepared for you to return to the streets the exact same way you did before we were in a global pandemic. So be aware of that. And so in her mind, based on what she's seen, just kind of talking about my mom for a second, she said three people at her, the clinic that she works at the entire flu season. So that's from October to February, three people came in with flu, which is incredibly rare. So I can imagine we're going to not only see a spike in COVID, and I don't say this to scare people, but to prepare you, right? We have time. In COVID, but also in other illnesses like the flu, colds, et cetera, during that season. So be on the lookout for that. And even if that's not what happens, you should still take care of your immune system. So definitely looking into what herbs might be available. I'm sure where that cut off my computer died. But yeah, and I think, and so, you know, drink two glasses of orange juice, get your oil of oregano, Myrto of Moons of Aphrodite. I don't know if this is available on her Instagram, but she did a really good thread about oregano as a medicine, because it is an antiviral, and how powerful it is, and its origins in Greece, and its importance among Greek people as well. Myrto is awesome. She's a Sag. Anyway, which is of course why she would get into a whole like, this is the history of this plant and how it relates to my people. Anyway, but yeah. What else can I say about that? It's also important to note, so like when we're talking Jupiter expands what it touches, right? So if there are already if you are somebody who already has a predisposition for having out to say this in this way, like shitty boundaries, and this planet just happens to touch parts of your chart that help to kind of accentuate that. I'm saying that for our Libra friends, our Piscean friends, right? As well as our Jupiterian friends, as well as our very mutable friends as well. Or let's just say for everybody, right? And it depends on what your chart looks like. It's just gonna is going to accentuate that. That being said, also, if especially if you have a what is it called? Virgo or a what is the other one? Pisces sixth house or 12th house, you need to take care of your body, especially if you have planets in those signs, especially if you have your moon in a mutable sign, all of them, Gemini, Virgo, Sag, Pisces. You need to watch your health. You need to watch your body, and you need to be just very aware. And also for those who have I'll leave it at that. So yes, be very aware of your bodily health over this next year, especially in relation to that dichotomy of like the physical and spiritual, emotional, mental body. Very sensitive. Let me get my notes. Even based on what we're seeing right now, I think what we will see during this time period is maybe some of the most prolific, but also some of the most regressive human rights laws, movements, violations that many of us have kind of witnessed. Especially when we're thinking about some of the people who receive the least amount of care and compassion within our community, in our communities. I think, you know, I'm thinking about non-men, of course. I'm thinking about all queer people. I'm also thinking about children and disabled folks. The list can kind of go on. So looking at what's happening legally in relation to that, right, we can already see these really regressive abortion laws popping up, these really backwards and disgusting laws that are kind of creating like a modern day witch hunt against trans people in the South. I think those will be some of the things to look out for. But also how those things are challenged internationally as well. And I think a really big thing is movements that are borderless. I say that because of the nature of not even just Pisces, but of all mutable signs. If we kind of look back to last summer and the uprisings that were spawned because of the murder of George Floyd, as well as the Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and a number of other people who were brought to our attention in that very short period of time. It was something that spread globally and was probably one of the largest demonstrations in modern history against injustice. And I feel like that same fervor that exists, that was kind of spread through word of mouth, that kind of speaks to the Venus in Gemini nature, Gemini that we saw last summer. That same boundaryless, if we're thinking again about mutable signs, that same boundaryless way that something can kind of spread, and the way that it infects in the best way, right? Our minds and our hearts is something that I think we'll also see here too. And I think it's something that we especially see right now with the way that, you know, people are talking about Palestine, and the way that people are talking about Colombia, and the way that people are truly understanding that solidarity with one another is something that has to cross borders. I think Mark Lamont Hill on his I think I don't know what channel it is that he does news hosting for, but he said oppression has no boundaries. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop at artificial borders. It keeps going. And in the same way, our love and our compassion and our desire for each other to be free also has no boundaries as well. So I think that will be something really amazing to feel into. Just to be funny, three of the things that were released in a time in which Jupiter was in what's it called? Pisces was the album, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, Britney Spears' debut album came out. So that will be interesting because Britney is also a Sag, right? So she's Jupiter ruled and, the whole Free Britney movement. It will be interesting to see what happens. Let me actually look at her birth chart really quickly. Because I'm like, what is happening with her personal Jupiter? Do-do-do-do. Oh, she's a Jupiter and Scorpio person. Interesting. Anyway, I think it will be interesting to witness and watch. There might be more that kind of unfolds with that once Jupiter goes back into Aquarius. And well, we'll see. Because maybe something will unfold legally once Jupiter comes into a nice square with her son a little bit later in the year. Cool. Not to go down that rabbit hole, but also the song Believe by Cher came out in 1999 when Jupiter was in Pisces as well. So I think, and I believe is like one of the most iconic songs ever. So it's like, to me, when I think about the miseducation of Lauryn Hill and like what the sentiment of that means is like this distortion of self through missocialization as a result of colonization. All these Asian words. So that's, kind of one of the things that I'm thinking about. That being said, one of the invitations that I think is kind of showing up is an invitation for radical imagination. I was having this conversation with my classmates in our study group about like what we think Jupiter in Pisces will kind of look like and feel like, and someone was talking about this the way that colonization not only impacts how we navigate our reality, our present reality, and what we're doing on the day to day, but it also impacts our ability to dream and vision. Kind of think back to last year when people were talking about defunding the police, abolishing the police. And lots of people's argument, or even if you were having these discussions with your family members or witnessing them online, you're stupid. That's impossible. Well, what are we going to do if the police aren't there, right? And not immediately having an answer or a vision to a lot of people was an indicator that the idea doesn't make any sense and the idea is stupid. When, there are lots of really stupid ideas that colonizers come up with every fucking day that we co-sign at the fucking drop of a dime, but it's whatever. In particular, one of the rabbit holes that I've been down a lot is like, is cult leaders, serial killers, and fraudster, scammer, CEOs. So I was thinking about Elizabeth Holmes of Theranos. I don't know if people remember that. Definitely look into it. I was thinking of the, oh, I don't remember what his name is, the WeWork guy, as well as that girl who pretended to be a German heiress. I'm thinking about Firefest. I'm thinking about, I'm watching right now the assassination of Gianni Versace. So I'm thinking about Andrew Cunanan. I'm thinking about, all of the new age movements of how like quickly we will believe white people and their weird ass delusions about shit. But when we're asked, when we're challenging the way that systems are and the way that they exist, we're told that, you know, for lack of a better word, that we're crazy or we're stupid or we're idiots or we're irresponsible and we want everyone to die. What about rapists? What about murderers? Blah, 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 blah. Right. We know the script. So I think, you know, I think it's a really good invitation for us to unpack that, and to, within our movement work, and also in the world, push for what seems impossible, and to even name some of the silliest and maybe even stupidest potentialities, to say those things. Because I think so often we are even afraid to name that stuff. And there's nothing wrong with naming things, even if they don't become real or we don't do them. But even just the idea that it exists, I think in a lot of ways is symbolic that, you know, it's something worth exploring. It's something worth looking into, right? So that's, I think, something that we can kind of lean into. Going down that, I wrote, how does Jupiter in Pisces function under capitalism? Because I think that that's really important. White savior complex, escapism, addiction, indulgence, especially in relation to consumerism, right? Not questioning things is another way. So I think these are some of the things to check yourself on and to not kind of fall victim to, in one way or another, right? So being able to ask and examine for ourselves. So like when I'm talking about white savior complex, I think one of the, and you know, as Sonia Renee Taylor refers to it as like white supremacist delusion, I think one of those documents I would encourage people to revisit, especially if you do work with organizations, or you do some other sort of work that is in the system, because I know a lot of you do that type of shit. Look at the white supremacy culture document and use that to assess, use that as a grounding force, but also use it as a document to put forth suggestions of how people can shift and change and do differently. Escapism and addiction. So I think a really big thing that's going to be important, not just this year, but especially once Jupiter reaches Neptune, sometime at the beginning of next year, is the importance of harm reduction. As we start to go out again, as people are going to start drinking, people are going to start doing drugs, people are going to be having unprotected sex, people are going to be doing all of the things, right? So like, what is it that we can do now to prepare ourselves to do that? One of the great things, you know, I see like lots of DJs have like overdose kits. Are you going to be the person in your friend group who owns that and has like training on like how to assist somebody if they're having an overdose, if you're out at a club, or just being a lot more vigilant, unfortunately, right, as we go back outside, about people with their drinks and what people are doing to people's drinks and other things like that, right? So those are some of the things that I think will also be really important too. One of the biggest things that I think is important is this reclamation of and use of faith technology or spirit technology. I am the poster child, not necessarily poster child, but like I really love to reclaim the use of the word technology, because the culture that we have live in has ran it into the ground to make us think that if you don't have a software engineering fucking degree, or if you don't, you know how to use a freaking microscope, that you don't know what technology is, or if something isn't scientific, it's not technology. And as we know, as people who have some form of indigeneity within us, that's not true, right? So like when we're talking about faith and hope and liberation, all of these things, right? And like feeling that fervor, feeling and reaching into like community and collective dream work, all of those things are real, right? So like, how are you cultivating those things in your individual practices, but also, in community too? I think a lot of us talk about like, oh, tarot, astrology, da 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 da, you know, all of these divination tools, but like, how can you practically use those tools in the way that you navigate your work? Where are the spaces in which the possibility exists to do that in a way that feels really good, in a way that's authentic, right? Whether it's, you know, you pour libation at the beginning of a ceremony, somebody is opening things with a prayer, closing things with a prayer, or a grounding exercise, you know, small things like that. Like, all of those things are important. And I think that we need to get in the habit of integrating those things in the day-to-day so we can help to move back to a place in which the spiritual was not separate from the political. It was not separate from the everyday life. It was not separate from the mundane. They are in relationship with one another, right? We can think about, you know, lots of times when I think about astrology, I think about, it's one thing to talk about one sign, right? But like, everything exists in relationship, right? So it's not even just like, as we're experiencing Jupiter in Pisces, we're experiencing everything in relation to Pisces. We also need to balance and integrate kind of strengthen and tap into that Jupiter Piscean energy by also reaching across at some of the practicality and some of the nuance and discipline that we can seek from the opposite sign of Virgo, right? In terms of like, where do we put these things? How do we put these things to work? How do we use these things to fix, tweak, and make meaning and sense of the things that are happening outside of us? It also makes me think about a work that my friend Chanel Adams, that they did for the Black Quantum Black Woman Time Camp back in September. They had a presentation called Meditation for Reparations and Liberation. And I think I'm missing one other word from that presentation. But I've been kind of thinking about that. How is that possible? Right? I can imagine somebody was just like, how is that possible? How can meditation be used for reparation and liberation? How can sound healing be used for that? How can yoga be used for that? You know, how can tarot be used for liberation? How can astrology be used for liberation? So I think a really great challenge and invitation is seeing and believing, right, in the tools, spirit technology, faith technology that we have, prayer as well, right? And its ability to free us, and its ability to help us reshape and reimagine the ways that the world exists. Cults. Watch out for cults. I think is going to be a really interesting thing. One of my favorite podcasts, I think, especially as we're talking about spirituality, is the Love and Light Confessionals. It's really good. It's so good. It talks about all of the traps that exist within like the spiritual and wellness world. And I think it's a good framework if you're looking to unpack, like, how do these things exist? You know, I'm someone who myself has, even in the time that I've recorded this podcast, fell victim to the new age spiritual world. And its tendency to bypass, right? And I think that's also a really big part of Jupiter in Pisces is the way that we can spiritually bypass things, right? We can bypass, let me just be real, like, we, in talking about bypassing, we can bypass what we've come to learn from the pandemic, which is this way in which we are deeply interconnected to one another in the best and in the worst ways, and how that impacts one another when we're relating to each other. So we can forget that. We can bypass that reality because we're excited to go back outside and connect with people again, and put ourselves and other people in danger in a number of ways, right? We can bypass the healing that is needed and necessary, not just to, so that we don't get caught in the oppression loop that most people are kind of stuck in, right? In which we're just naming, 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 and we're not unlearning, relearning, and reshaping and remolding how we exist in relation to systems, but also creating the potentiality of never having to do that ever again, right? So like that's also really important work to do as well. Being able to know the difference between hope and faith versus martyrdom, which is something that I spoke about. I don't know why I wrote the word Jesus, but it's there and it's important. So I hope that means something to someone. I'm joking. You know, we love Jesus on this podcast. Let's see. Oh, going back to spiritual community stuff. So in February 28th of 2000, I'm sorry, of 1998, this was where the conspiracy theory that the MMR vaccine is connected to autism first emerged. And I think it's really ironic. Well, let me just finish saying that. And what it resulted in the country is like a sharp drop in the amount of vaccination rates, but also the resurgence of measles in a number of other countries. And it was a statement that was retracted in 2010. So about a whole, 2010, an entire Jupiter cycle later, it was something in which the person who originally published that study was like, sorry guys, I'm wrong. Just to quote Wikipedia, because Wikipedia is, you know, the pinnacle of all correct information. The study fully retracted in 2010 was later characterized as perhaps the most damaging medical hoax of the 20th century. So I think that will be interesting in relation to the COVID-19 vaccine right now, especially since, you know, we're seeing lots of theories around what the vaccine is doing to people's bodies. I'm not going to speak in either direction about that. You can feel how you would like to. And I think that will be interesting to see if something similar like that happens or springs up, especially over this next year as people start to go outside and what that will mean. I think at this time, maybe a third of the country's of the United States population is vaccinated at this time. And right, that's a third, right? That's two thirds. That's not right. So we'll see how that manifests, especially living in a time in which they were like, everybody take off your mask and just go spit in everyone's mouth. So that will be, we shall see what happens. Let's see. This also was the time of Julian Assange, and the WikiLeaks. And there being, I think it was something that unfolded in both Jupiter in Pisces, but also in the late degrees of Jupiter in Aquarius. As we all know, something I think at the beginning of this year happened with Julian Assange, where I think we were trying to make sure, let me Google just to remember. If for those who do not know, regardless of how you necessarily feel about how he went about leaking information about the United States government and its participation in human rights violations across the globe, which I think is incredibly important. Yes. It was information provided by Chelsea Manning. And so I believe it was, I don't even, oh my God, I can't even summarize what happened at the beginning of the year in relation to Julian Assange, but I do think it's really important. And I think it's something that will be revisited, whether he's going to be extradited from, I'm not sure. I don't remember what countries he is in at this time, but I think it will be something that really sets the tone for how we're dealing with whistleblowers and human rights violations that are being conducted globally. And to speak to that, one of the other things that happened during this time, so it looks like July 17th, was this during the retrograde? Hold on a second. July 17th of 1998, there was a conference held in Rome, and 120 countries voted to create a permanent international criminal court to prosecute individuals for genocide, crimes against humanity, war crimes, and crimes of aggression. So, I mean, I didn't look too much into like how that has manifested in any particular way, but it's definitely very interesting in relation to what I was just saying about Julian Assange, but also in terms of like what we see happening globally in Colombia, Palestine, Haiti, et cetera, with the number of human rights violations that we're seeing. There was also a lot of repealing of laws. In 1998, Maine was the first state to repeal a gay rights law that was passed the previous year. So it's really interesting to see that there, the Jupiter in Pisces also seems to be this like great undoing of, as I said before, times in which we're really showing that we're moving forward, that we're demonstrating and showing compassion to one another, and the understanding that like everyone deserves to be treated like a fucking human being, and seeing some of those things repealed and taken back. More pop culture stuff. Titanic became the largest film to, or the first film to gross $100 billion. The Titanic, then a month later, it won hella awards at the Academy Awards. It also was the release of Windows 98. And if we fast forward to 2009, that would be some of the major things that happened. Was the iPad was first launched in 2009. So the iPad is going to be 12 years old this year. So it'll be really interesting to witness, you know, that. If you think about it, you know, Jupiter in Pisces is like, how can we create and make an technology or socially exist in a time in which there are no barriers to how we can connect with one another, right? The iPad, in a sense, as well as the iPhone, made the computer accessible to your hand, right? Like, it's something that you can kind of carry with you, and also revolutionize the way that like tablets existed as well. So right now people can use it to make art, all of these other things, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. The other piece was that also was the Lady Gaga meat dress. I don't know if that has anything to do with Jupiter, but I thought that it was interesting that that's what happened in that year. Google was founded in September 4th of 1998. Also, we saw one of the largest civil settlements in United States history, of requiring dozens of brokerage firms to pay investors who they claimed they were cheated in a widespread price fixing scheme that would include Merrill Lynch, Goldman Sachs, and Solomon Smith Barney. Also, the creation, the Dutch Deutsche Bank, which of course we know President Trump has connections to, announces a $100 billion deal to buy Bankers Trust, thus creating the largest financial institution in the world. So I think this will also be an interesting time to watch capitalism. It'll be interesting to see what consequences exist with that because of that. to use this really shitty analogy that people say about Jupiter, especially Jupiter Returns, is that it gives you enough rope to yourself. And so that meaning, when we're kind of thinking about what I was saying earlier about opportunity, luck being where work and opportunity meet, if there hasn't been a sort of fundamental shift, and we can even kind of think about the karmic nature of the sign Pisces within itself, I think in a sense it may be a reckoning for some of these things that larger institutions have done, and some of the ways that, and, you know, quite honestly, I mean, this happens all the time, but when we can think about, I don't know what week that was when Elon Musk was on SNL, but like Dogecoin sank, like it just fucking, you know, in addition to us seeing that trend with Bitcoin as well, but also this very widespread movement to talk about crypto and NFTs in particular. Sorry to use words that people may not necessarily understand yet. There's videos that talk about those things. The use of them and the environmental impact that they have. I know I'm jumping around to a lot of different places, but then to kind of get into it again, since right now we're talking about that, in 2000, why do I keep forgetting the year? 2009, we saw the Deepwater Horizon oil drilling platform explode in the Gulf of Mexico, killing 11 workers. The resulting Horizon oil spill, one of the largest in history, spread for several months, damaging the waters and the United States coastline, prompting international debate and doubt about the practice and procedures of offshore drilling. So that will be interesting to explore, especially since there's lots of pipeline things that are happening right now. That'll be interesting to explore, given the fact that we're at a time in which we're kind of like in the 11th hour of being able to deal with the climate crisis in a way that will allow, well, humans to continue to exist. So that will be very interesting. Jupiter in Aquarius, just to briefly talk about that, the first Instagram post was made during that. So I think that also is interesting when we're thinking about some of the things that is happening with Instagram right now, and how it has dramatically shifted in 12 years. It has went from, you know, people talk about this very pure platform where people were just posting their food and like other random shit. And now it has become one of the most, a platform in which our personal information is being exploited, and another tool in surveillance and also in the silencing of people as well. One of the things that a lot of people have spoken about, whether it be sex workers, people who fight for liberation, leftists, as well as like QAnon and other kinds of forms of, you know, groups that I'll say fringe groups. I use that word very loosely, that gather and meet in the social media space that have, I guess, I'll use the word again, subversive opinions and thoughts about the world and how it should operate, you know, being silenced on that platform, right? So that's definitely really interesting. Let me see if there's anything else that I have. I wrote so much stuff. Oh, we had Obamacare too. One final thing that I'll say. So in 1976 or 74? Hold on. I think it was 74. Yeah. So we won't worry about that. Yes. Okay. So those are the things. When it comes to major or important aspects, these eclipses that we're about to start experiencing, eclipse season is just a couple of days away from starting, with one being on the 26th and then the second one being, I think, the second week of June. And I believe, I don't even want to say what day because I don't remember. But that being that, you know. So then the squaring of the nodes, which will be a lot more exact in December, where they square each other at from 0 to 1 degrees. Remember the nodes are in Gemini and Sagittarius, respectively. The conjunction to Neptune is going to be a big deal. But also this really fun, I think that is going to be one of the most major things that we're clearly going to see a couple of times, because of Jupiter dipping in and out of Pisces, a couple of times, in 2022. So that's the ride we're being taken for. Don't join a cult. Practice harm reduction, have radical imagination, engage in communal dreaming, and love on your people. That's all we can do. It is great to be back and talk to you all about astrology because it truly is what I love. And I will be, this other housekeeping piece that I forgot. Our moon lunation conversations will be carried out via newsletter. Moving forward, I will exclusively be talking about the moons in details in written form in newsletters. So if you would like to subscribe for my newsletter, the link, I'm going to put it in the description box. Let me write this down. For you to do that, you can follow me on Instagram at youwomanu, youwomanyou. What else? If there are things that you want to hear about, given, you know, my astrological manifesto that I gave for you all at the beginning of this episode, let me know, because like I can do that. The lunar eclipse newsletter should be in your inbox on the day of the moon, in the planetary hour of the moon. That's Monday, and I will have to look up what time that will be because I have not scheduled the email to be sent out yet. So yeah, I hope you have a great week. I will talk to you soon. Again, as I said before, there are some really great, amazing episodes coming up, as well as other content and stuff. And if you want to hear me, see me shit post and talk about astrology maybe a couple times a week, you can always follow me on Instagram, and when my books open, you can book a session with me. But until then, enjoy your week.